Hallelujah. How many can say he touched me? And more than just a feeling, but he touched your soul. Hallelujah. Not that we don't like the other touches from the Lord, but this is a permanent one. This is a life-changing one. Amen, amen. Thank you, brothers and sisters. God bless you. Nice to be back together. We certainly did enjoy our time up on the mountain. It was the first Easter sunrise service that we were able to have, and an outdoor one at that, and I was thoroughly blessed, and trust that you were as well. And the rest of the time that we had up there was a blessed time, and real thankful for the opportunity to fellowship together and just draw closer together and closer to him. Amen? Somebody say, praise the Lord. Through faith and patience, part 3. Hebrews chapter 6 in the 12th verse. Now, we fully planned on having our Bible study this Friday, but based on how many people are struggling with different afflictions, we're going to cancel it for this Friday. And then the following Friday, of course, we have our couples banquet. So we won't have it the following Friday. So it's going to be a couple of weeks before we have it again. And as we get closer to that time, I'm going to have a little talk with you and try to encourage a little bit more participation, because if you go through this with us, there's no way that you will ever be under fear again of somebody taking you out from under the blood when they didn't put you under the blood, or you losing your salvation, or you will never submit to a Laodicean, a Nicolaitan spirit. You will recognize Satan's tactics all the way through the church ages. And you will realize that everything that he did all through the church ages, he's doing all of that now, but we're on to him. He's exposed, right? By the time we get through this, every major doctrine will be covered. And if you're born again of the Spirit and are joining us in this, it'll definitely put us all on the same page. Now, some of you might think, well, you know, we already have 3 services a week, this extra service. I don't need it. It's optional. I can read the church age book myself. I've already read it myself. Okay, you've read the Bible yourself too, right? So you don't want to hear about that anymore. You need somebody to break it down for you, right? But you don't need it for the church age book. You don't need it for that. If I sound like I'm kind of getting after you, I am. Because this is the best thing that I can do for you. It's the best thing that you can do for yourselves. And so we're looking forward to our next opportunity. We've had wonderful discussions and questions, and it's just, I get blessed every time I go through it. And, you know, you feed on it at different levels each time, so. It's the best thing you can do for your kids. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Through faith and patience inherit the promises. The word patience is endurance, constancy, steadfastness, perseverance, the ability to wait or to continue doing something despite difficulties, or to suffer without complaining or becoming annoyed. The quality of being patient as the bearing of provocations, or your bearing being provoked, annoyance, misfortune, or pain without complaint, loss of temper, irritation, or the like. An ability or willingness to suppress restlessness or annoyance when confronted with delay. Lord help us. To have patience with a slow learner. Quiet, steady perseverance, even-tempered care, diligence. There's a lot in that one word, isn't there? Let's bow our heads tonight. Father, as we come together for this midweek service, Lord, we join our faith together with the prayers that have already went forth, Lord, for the healing of our precious brothers and sisters, that are, Lord, that you would raise them up and bring them back amongst us. We thank you for all that you've done and all that you are doing, Lord. And we look to you, the author and finisher of our faith. Father, as we look into your word once again tonight, Lord, and particularly looking at the virtue of patience, we ask that you would speak to our hearts, Lord, that you would make this more real to us, that you would, Father, open the eyes of our understanding to the importance of this great virtue, and Lord, to recognize your plan and how it is that you bring these things into being in our lives. We ask that you'd minister to each and every heart, Lord, those that are present, those that are listening in, those that will listen in. And Father, surely we give you praise and honor and glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Excuse me. So we looked last time at how God had had to put Abraham and Sarah through tailor-made trials so that they would have patience to go along with their faith. We talk about the father of our faith, but the father of our faith also had to learn patience. We saw that God made his covenant with his people, and that covenant that God makes with us, it's not based on us at all, but it's based entirely upon him. He chooses whom he will, and he makes his covenant with whom he will, and he does not base his covenant upon our works or upon our abilities or upon our zeal or upon our merits. Nothing we can do can cause God to bring us under that covenant. And if you're under that covenant, you're under that covenant. We do nothing to come under his covenant with his children. You were chosen before the foundation of the world as part of that covenant when he wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And he swore by himself that he will keep this covenant and that we will be what he has declared that we will be when we stand before him in that great day in glory. So it's entirely his own work, and it's entirely his own plan, and it's entirely his own responsibility, and nothing can stop him. And the church says. And we also saw that there's also an inheritance that's promised to each and every believer that is under that covenant. But for us to possess that inheritance, we have to first go through tailor-made trials and tests so that the character and the virtues of Christ are on display in our lives. Why would this be so, you ask? Well, because to rule and to reign and to exercise the power that's given to mature sons and daughters of God, it requires character. And power without character will result in a satanic kind of a life being lived out. In order for us to possess our inheritance, we first must have faith. And then that faith must be tried so that the result of that faith is patience, and then patience is manifested in our lives. And God knows just exactly what to allow us to go through to cause that patience to become part of our character. Now, he doesn't put these things on us, but he allows our enemy as a tool in his hand. He allows our enemy to bring trials into our lives, knowing that it'll take these trials to bring out what God has already placed in you. And also, in the process of the trials that we're going through, we learn things about God that could be learned in no other way. This is the only way for us to learn about him. And what we learn about him, we know about him. Because it goes beyond intellectual knowledge. It goes beyond a book reading knowledge of him. But it's experiential knowledge. And in the process of this, friends, Christ is formed in us through these trials, and his image is then declared through us as we walk this earth. Recall that man was created in the image of God, and man was to reflect God's image here on the earth. But when man fell, he lost that image. He was, darkness was shadowed over him, and so that image was no longer being projected. But God's first idea was the right idea. God wants his image to be reflected here on the earth through his sons and daughters. So we looked at Moses last time, who we know that God used to fulfill his promise to Abraham and to Abraham's seed. And we saw that Moses thought that he was ready at 40 years of age to exercise the power of a deliverer and to lead Israel into the promised land. He had the finest education that was available. He lived in the king's palace, the Pharaoh's palace. He gave orders and people carried it out. They didn't question him. He spoke and they did it. He had many victories under his belt, conquered different nations and fought many battles. And it was one victory after another. So he thought he was ready. He was trained in the by the best educators. He'd fought battles. And he'd been told from birth that God was going to use him, that he was the promised one that God was going to use to deliver Israel and to fulfill the promise that he gave to Abraham. So Moses thinks that he's ready, and he launches out according to his intellect, and he kills an Egyptian. And that's as far as he can go. That's the best that he can come up with, is a dead Egyptian. And we saw that it would take another 40 years for Moses to be schooled for the job that God had called him to do. He'd been schooled to be the ruler of Egypt. Now he's going to be schooled to be the servant of Israel. And Israel also, we find, later had to be schooled in order to receive Moses as their leader and as their servant. And so God knew what to put Moses through in order to get him prepared for the job that God was going to perform through him. And we saw last time that even his wife was chosen of God so that she would be a tool to be used at times to mold and shape Moses. Now, if she would have been a prissy palace princess, if you will, she would not have been much help in shaping Moses' character. And on the other hand, if she would have been a yes Moses, right away Moses type of a wife, type of a helpmeet, Moses would not have grown into what he was after 40 more years, and he wouldn't have been ready to... he was going to pastor 2.5 million people. And these 2.5 million people were not going to say, yes, Moses, whatever you say, Moses. And then we saw that Moses still lacked the patience that he needed in order to take Israel all the way into the land when he got impatient and angry with the people that he was leading. And we know that he needed patience in order to serve the people. And because of that lack of patience that was on display, he was not allowed to lead Israel into the promised land or to go into the land himself. Now, we also know that Moses represented the law and that the law cannot take you into grace. The law stops and then grace takes over. So Moses, he needed all of that preparation time on the backside of the desert in order to get him ready for the work that God that God called him to do, but God was going to do himself. Now, friends, we know that God will not use tyrants, and God will not use dignitaries, and God will not use big eyes to lead his bride. Amen? No, Jesus came as a servant, and so do his ministers. Now, that doesn't mean that Jesus ever compromised on the word or didn't bring correction when it was needed. But the purpose of the correction that he brought was to help the people. It wasn't to beat them down. It wasn't to lord over them. It was to help them. It was to cause them to come up higher. He also had to stop the mouths of his critics at times to get them off his back, and also to let the people know that these critics are not his sheep. though they claim to be the children of God. He had to have patience when dealing with his hand-picked disciples, even the more so before they were converted. And it takes patience for a minister to wait on the Lord, to bring the word of the Lord to the people, recognizing that maybe there's something that you want to bring, but it's not the right time. So Jesus himself told his disciples, he said, you know, I have many things to teach you, but you can't learn these things. I can't even teach you until after you are converted. And then I come in spirit form to teach you these things. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 4, Paul says, but in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. So, you see, the minister goes through the trials just like you do. The ministers are not up here on a pedestal and God's not saying, you know, I'm not going to put them through anything or allow them to go through anything because they're a dignitary. No, they go through the same things that you do. And maybe even more so sometimes. And then the minister must demonstrate faith when going through the trials so that those that he's sent to can see that faith on display. And if a minister were to fall apart when he's afflicted or in distress or has necessities and is talking about giving up, well, how can he then be used to lead somebody else to believe when they're going through similar situations? So a lot of times people get offended when they hear the minister preach something and they think, well, that's easy for you to say because you're not going through anything. No, they're preaching something that they've went through. And they're preaching it. You think, well, you're just picking on me. No, they had to go through it too. They had to apply the very same thing to their own life that they're encouraging you to apply to your life. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let us run with patience the race that is set. Friends, we are all running in a race. And there's a race that's been set before us. But we must exercise patience with one another. We're not the only ones that are in the race. We must exercise patience with the circumstances that we're facing. Patience with ourselves. Patience with God. Imagine running a foot race, if you will, and somebody accidentally steps on your toes along the way. Not once, not twice. But again and again and again. Well, I'm talking about this race that we're running. I'm talking about this walk that we're in. And you need patience with them while also overcoming what's before you. You're facing different obstacles and you've got to navigate that. But there are others that are in this race that you're going to interact with and you need patience with them. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. So he wasn't looking at the cross and saying, you know what, I'm really looking forward to the cross. No, he was looking beyond the cross. He was looking at what the cross was going to achieve. And for the joy of what he saw beyond the cross, he endured the cross, which requires patience, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. So endurance requires patience. To endure to the end requires patience. James chapter 1, verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. The trying of your faith worketh patience. Friends, we have to get to the place where we're at peace, recognizing that whatever we're going through, it's working for our good. It's not a bad thing. It's part of the process. It's how God will bring these virtues to the forefront in our lives. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Some people can take the word of God and make certain of the promises that are in the word of God, make them live in such a way, and we might admire what they can do with the word of God, and they have genuine faith in certain promises that God gives us in his word. For instance, for some, it might be a finance doctrine. Others, it might be healing. And faith is necessary for a child of God. But faith alone, friends, is not enough for you to possess all that God has promised to you. It's not enough to say, I believe. Though you may truly believe, it's not enough. But those that are taking these certain promises and focusing on them and really kind of exclusively, can those same people that focus just on prosperity, can they endure with others that don't agree with them? Maybe they can possess some of the shallower promises. Their promises, I'm not belittling them, but what I'm saying is, it's possible for people to possess some of the shallower promises. For instance, if you abide in me and my word in you, ask what you will. You say, what's wrong with that? Nothing. Again, it is a promise, but what do they operate their faith to receive? What are they asking for? And do they go on from there to ask for deeper things that are in the word of God? Listen, friends, if all you and I did was focus in faith on name it and claim it, we would certainly see results from that. Undoubtedly, if that's all we focused on and we believed, we'd see results. But that would lead to a shallow walk, and a walk that was based on serving ourselves instead of serving God. And yet we can operate faith for those things. Are you with me tonight? But what if we then quoted to someone that was running off on a prosperity doctrine? What if we then quoted Acts 2:38 to those that focus on name it and claim it? How would they apply their faith towards that? What would their faith do with that? And what would their faith do with Malachi chapter 4, verse 5? Especially if you were to tell them, this day the scripture is fulfilled. What would their faith do? What would their faith do with 1 Corinthians 4:16? For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. What would their faith do with that if you told them, this day this scripture is fulfilled? What would they do with Revelation 10:1? What would their faith do if you told them, I saw another mighty angel descend from heaven with a rainbow about his head. And you told him, this day, this scripture is being fulfilled. They would say, perhaps, well, now, brother, I just teach a God of love. Well, so do I. Well, God doesn't care how you dress or how you act or what you do. He just looks at your heart. He sure does. He does look at your heart, and he does care. Well, I don't believe that we could have a word prophet in our day. Well, the Bible said we were supposed to. Well, I don't believe that we can understand the book of Revelations. Then why was it written? And why did Paul say, blessed are they that hear, that read and hear these things? Why does John say, he that hath an ear, let him hear? Okay, but you have faith for these other promises, but just not all the promises. And that's the kicker here this evening, friends. I don't want just I don't want to just choose certain favorite things out of the Word of God and then say, okay, I'm going to believe that and exclude the rest. We have a great inheritance. And I want to walk in the fullness of my inheritance, which is God's will for our lives. So the seed of Abraham, on the other hand, they hear the word preached and they patiently wait to see it manifested and in expectation to see it manifested in their lives. Looking for it, not taking their eyes off of it, in expectation of it being fulfilled, desiring for it to be fulfilled, but knowing they might have to wait, not knowing when it would be fulfilled, just that it will be fulfilled. Continuing to profess it in the meantime, never wavering in faith. When a child of God says or does something to a brother or sister that isn't right, if you're born again of the Spirit of God, friends, you don't need anybody to tell you, hey, that wasn't right. The Spirit of God in you will bring conviction. It's just how it is. And that person won't rest until they make that right with that other person. So you mean to tell me that God is going to let others come to this very same wedding supper that live just any old way that they want to live? God would be unjust to hold me to a certain standard and then hold somebody else to another standard and both of us go in the rapture. God has one way, and that way is His Word. And He will lead you into all truth. So this goes for all of us, friends. Through faith and patience and patience and patience. You know, we preached many a sermon on faith. And it's good, and we should. But how many sermons have you heard on patience? And it takes a lot longer to see patience in your life than faith. Sometimes you can get a hold of something and just instantly you believe it, you hold on to it. But patience. We have to be patient to get patience. That's kind of one of them chicken and egg things. It's like, well, how do you get it if you don't have it? Faith says it's coming. Some of our testing comes from just coming to church even. And that's part of why some people don't want to come to church, because they know that there's a little bit of testing that comes when they come to church. Sometimes some will come into church and they'll sit down with others and they'll shout their shoes off every service. And it'll sound like, and not just sound like, perhaps they're having victory after victory after victory and testimony after testimony. And then God will let a seed of Abraham sit in the very same service and maybe not feel a thing, service after service. Well, I must be doing something wrong. My neighbor over here is shouting their shoes off. Not me. Or maybe God doesn't love me like He loves this other person because I'm not shouting from the mountaintop. Yeah, you're not shouting from the mountaintop because you're not on the mountaintop. And we don't live on the mountaintop. We live in the valley. And when you come through the other side of the valley that you're presently going through, there's a mountaintop waiting for you. And you'll have something to shout your shoes over. Not just an emotional outburst, but a victory. Hallelujah. Sometimes you can be going through the very lowest spot in your life. And you've searched your heart time and time again, and all the searching, you know that all is well. You know that you've not left anything undone. You know you don't need to repent of something. You know that you don't need to confess something. You know that you haven't wronged somebody. And so, and you're saying, God, if I've done anything wrong, please tell me. You know that I'll quickly make it right. I'm not trying to see what I can get away with. I want to be right with You. You know that I'm not living loose. I want to please You. If I've done anything, please show me, Lord. I'll make it right. And then God is silent. Not because you've done anything wrong, though, and not because He doesn't love you. Sometimes We can be walking in a stage in our walk where even a rebuke from God is encouraging, because you know you heard from him. And you know that he loves you, because as many as he loves, he chastens and rebukes. And maybe you wouldn't have heard anything at all from him except for that correction that came. Sometimes it's just quiet. He's not saying anything personally to us. Our hearts don't condemn us, but we're just going through a period of time where it's quiet. And I can show you where everybody in the scripture did too. Let patience have her perfect work. That word perfect means mature, complete, lacking in nothing, fulfilled. Faith by itself, friends, will not produce mature Christians. So you look at people, maybe you've admired people, nothing wrong with that, but you've admired bulldog faith that different ones have had and testimonies that they give over and over and over, which is wonderful. That's just fine. But a person can have bulldog faith and still not go in the rapture, because there's no character that's worked out in their life. Yes, there's faith, but there's more to this than faith. Let patience have her perfect work. Faith must be tried, friends, and then it will produce virtue in our lives. It will produce patience. It will produce love. It'll produce long-suffering. You gain experience and you grow up into him, but it takes testing of our faith. But faith alone will not do it. Faith is necessary. Those that come to God, it's impossible to please God without faith. Those that come to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So we know it's the foundation. We know we can't even get past square one without faith. But then we've got that faith has to be put into action, has to be tested and tried, and it's going to bring other virtues on display that were not on display otherwise and would not be on display otherwise. James chapter 1, verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So you can stand and get to the place in your walk, friends, where you can say, I am lacking nothing. Do you believe that tonight? Absolutely you can. Now, not as the Laodiceans say, I have need of nothing. They're lying. They know it's not that they're poor, wretched, blind, and naked. But you can get to the place where you know that the virtues are manifesting in your life. That you've matured, that patience has come to bring a perfect work in your life. But you know that you're lacking in nothing. You know that you have faith. You know that you have virtue. You know that you have knowledge. You know that you have gentleness. You know that you can point to times in your life where you've seen it manifested. And you've even been amazed at times when you saw that particular virtue on display and you thought, you know what? I know something happened in my life, because that isn't the old me. The old me wouldn't have done that. But this just happened. It just came out. And you know it's God. So you have the virtues of Christ living in you and on display by experience. And that's the goal. That's the place that God is trying to bring, that God is bringing every son and daughter of God to. It's been demonstrated to you, and it will be demonstrated through you, and you will know. You're not wondering anymore, God, do I really have these virtues in me? You have proof, because God has brought a manifestation of those things in your life. And if we do, here's what Peter said, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity, or love, if these things be in you. Well, they are in you if you're born again of the Spirit of God. If these things be in you and abound. This is the part. The abounding comes through tests and trials. If these things be in you and abound, notice this, they make you. So these characteristics, these virtues of Christ in you will make you, that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The fruit will come forth, and it won't be you. It's what's in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. But he that lacketh these things is blind. He's a Laodicean and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence. Make your calling election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. Amen. Do these things. Make your calling election sure. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you. Oh, I love this scripture, friends. So an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly. Not sparingly, not I just barely made it, but a wide open door. An entrance into heavenly places ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You will not wonder, I wonder if I really belong over there. I wonder if I really ought to be in the rapture. I wonder if I'm going to get over there and find out I'm a cut below everybody else. No, you'll know. Patience will do its perfect work. You will come to maturity, and you will be lacking in nothing. So you might as well accept that tonight, friends. If you are under his covenant, this is a done deal. He will see that you are tried, and he will see that you come forth as gold. And he will see that all of these virtues will be manifested in your life. He will see that these things are abounding in you. He will see that these things are producing fruit. He will see that this will manifest Christ in your life, the very image of God manifested here on the earth, not as a gift, but as a victory after the trial. Amen. So as your faith works patience, friends, you will accept that he keeps every promise that he made you. Patience will cause your faith to just be settled in and not worry and not wonder. God said it, I believe it. God said it, I believe it. I don't know how, when, I don't know what. I know he's going to do it. He said it. Not me, him. It's not he that willeth or he that runneth, but God who giveth mercy. He will keep every promise that he made to you, friends. And he will see to it that it manifests in your life, that it's on display. Faith and patience brings maturity. So these virtues, friends, they are in you, and they are birthed through pain and anguish and suffering and sorrow. They're in you, but something has to release them. Something has to cause them to come to the forefront. Something has to cause a manifestation. Just as the fruit of a tree is in a seed, and you plant that seed in the ground and the tree starts growing, the fruit is in it. But something has to cause that fruit to come out of it. Amen? In Patmos vision, the hard, impenitent heart will be judged. The works will be judged. The motives will be judged. There won't be any respect before God, but all will be judged by that word, no one escaping it. Those who heard and wouldn't listen will be judged by what they heard. Those that rested in it, saying they believed it but didn't live it, will be judged. That's a powerful statement. These are people that claim to believe, but they aren't living it. Well, why aren't they living it? Because they're not surrendering and allowing God to take them through these trials in order to manifest it in their lives. Intellectually, they believe it. But if you truly believe it, God's going to prove it. There will be no doubt on this side who the true believer is. Before we go to the other side, you'll know who the true believer is. you will know whether you're a true believer or not. You've made your calling and election sure. You will know because you've been tried and tested and proven to be believers. Again, in Stature of a Perfect Man, I'm going to read several statements from this message. He says, then after that, fourthly, you want to add patience to your faith. If you got faith, it worketh patience. The Bible said so, see? So this is patience. Now, that's the next thing that's going to build this stature. Paragraph 233, patience with what? What kind of patience? Well, first thing is have patience with God. If you got real, genuine faith, you have real, genuine patience. Because faith worketh patience. When God says anything, you believe it. That's all. You got patience. You say, well, I asked him last night to heal me, and I'm just as sick this morning. Oh, my. What patience. God told Abraham, and 25 years later, there wasn't even one sign of the promise. He was still believing. He was patient with God. Put him always before you. Let him be the next crossing thing. You can't cross him, so just keep him before you. He said so, and it's going to happen. Somebody say that tonight. He said so, and it's going to happen. He said so, and it's going to happen. I put that token out over my family. He said that me and my house will be saved. He said so. I believe it. Well, where's the proof? It looks like things are getting worse. He said so, and I believe it. He said so, and I believe it. Hallelujah. Paragraph 237. Noah had patience. Yeah. Noah had real godly patience. God said, I'm going to destroy this world with rain. And Noah preached 120 years yet. Plenty of patience. Not even dew fell from heaven. Wasn't nothing. Just as dusty as it ever was. For 120 years. But he was patient. Then God tries your patience. So it's not enough that he puts you through all of that to produce patience. But once you have it, he tries it. That's right. God tries them. After he told Noah, now he said, Noah, I want you to go ahead and get in the ark. I'm going to run the animals in there, and I want you to get in. Climb way upstairs now so that you can look out top, out the window. Now, I want you to get in there. I want you to tell these people tomorrow what I've been preaching for 120 years is going to take place. That's all right. You go down there and tell them. Noah believed God, right? The ark was proof of it. Wasn't his faith enough, friends? Apparently not. God could have built that ark himself. He could have caused that ark to come down from heaven. There's lots of ways he could have provided that ark. Delivered it overnight to Noah. And then said, okay, Noah, get in. We're leaving today. But he didn't. Why? Was it because God needed more time? No. Noah needed patience. And what did it take to produce that patience in his life? 120 years. It took scoffers. It took the promise looking more and more impossible. It took mockers. It took a total lack of evidence, any proof at all in his life. It took just a few believers. We don't know how many millions of people were on the earth. But think about it. 8 souls out of millions. And you had to believe. You had to have patience to say, okay, I've done what God told me to do. There's just supposed to be 8. And it didn't happen the day after Noah went into the ark. Or the day after.
or the day after. This is bread and butter preaching, friends. You say, well, it doesn't seem too deep. This is what we need. We must have these things, and they must abound. Through faith and patience. Friends, I don't need somebody to set a date. And if people do set dates and try and figure things out, you're not going to scare me into accepting it. I don't need a date. I'm going to be ready. And I'm not going to be, it's not going to upset me when their date comes and goes. Again, he says, what was the first sign? Noah got in the ark. Wasn't no rain. Noah got ready and got the raincoat on and everything so that he could look out once in a while. Got ready, but the next day, instead of a black cloud, here come the sun coming up just like it always did. Noah looked out and said, hey, there ain't no cloud. That guy come up and said, ah, I knowed you was one of them. You see, you're hanging around up here. Well, pardon me, sir. Maybe I, just enthused, kind of see, But Noah, he had patience. Said, if it don't come today, it'll be here tomorrow. Why? God said so. When did he tell you that, Noah? 120 years ago. Think about it, friends. I'm 63, so I'd have to be twice my age to be in the same situation that Noah was in. When did he tell you that, Noah? 120 years ago. I've come this far, so I'm just waiting here now. See that? After a while, and we find God comes this far, waiting for the church too. But it'll be there. Don't you worry. He promised it. Waited all this time for a resurrection. There'll be one. Don't worry. God promised it. Just wait patiently. You fall asleep, you might take a little nap before it happens, but you'll wake up at that time. He promised it, you see. A nap, see, what we call the nap of death, you know? What we call death, just a little nap or sleeping in Christ. No such thing as dying in Christ. Life and death don't exist together, see. We just take a nap that our friends can't call us from. He's the only one that can call. He'll call. I'll answer him. Said Job. Job had been sleeping now for 4,000 years. Don't worry, he'll wake up. Don't worry, he's still waiting. Noah waited, he said. The fourth day passed. No rain. It's all right. It's going to happen. I can hear Mrs. Noah. She comes around and said, Dad, are you sure? He says, don't talk like that. He had patience because he had faith. Yes, sir. He had virtue. He had knowledge that God was right. He had temperance. He didn't fly loose and say, well, I don't know what this is all about. I've lost all my popularity out there. No, no. People don't care for me no more. I'll go out there and start all over, new again. No, no. He had patience. God promised. God will do it. God will do it because God said so. How many believes that tonight? And I can see his son coming around and say, Dad, you know, stroke his hand over his long gray hair, you know, and he was hundreds of years old, you know, and sitting there and said, I know that you're an old patriarch and I love you, Daddy, but could it have been possible that you could have been a little bit wrong? Oh, no, no. Why? God said so. Friends, that's what faith and patience will produce. No, no, we're not going over this again. God said so. I'm just waiting for the promise. Well, Daddy, this is 6 days that we set up here. Now, friends, Noah didn't know when this flood was going to come. Noah didn't know that after 7 days, the rains would come. He didn't know that. So another day goes by. Another day goes by. Another day goes by. He says, sitting up here in this big old dry ark, sitting right here. And it's all pitched inside and out. You know, sometimes as song leaders and as ministers, sometimes we'll start meetings and we know that God's going to move. And we know that there's going to be an atmosphere. And sometimes we will just press and we will just plow and we will just worship with no feeling, just pushing and pushing and pushing, knowing that something's going to give, knowing that something's going to break. Sometimes the Lord will put it on our heart to tarry after the service. Friends, particularly in the old church, when I used to lead singing a lot of times after the service, people would think, man, you know, we've had enough. It's time to go. And I would tell everybody, look, we're not trying to keep anybody. If you don't want to stay, if you need to go, that's just fine. There's nothing that, you know, there's no requirement that you have to stay. But sometimes we would just tarry because the Lord put it on our heart to do that. And we knew that something was going to happen. But it didn't look like it. And we would tarry, and then all of a sudden something spontaneous would happen. Yeah, you believe and you wait and you tarry in spite of what how things appear. Well, Daddy, this is 6 days that we sit up here. Setting up here in this big old dry ark, setting right here, and it's all pitched inside and out. And we've been all these years building on it. And you stood out there and preached till you turned gray and bald. Is that what's next? I've got the gray part. And here you are up here now trying to say such and such a thing, and the people are laughing and throwing rotten tomatoes and things against the side of it. Look. Look there what you're doing. Why, you know, be patient, son. Are you sure? It will rain. His daughter-in-law said, Father, you know, it will rain. But we've been all these years waiting. We've been preparing. And you told us that it's going to rain a week ago. And here we are. And the doors are all shut. And here we are walking around in here, and the sun's just scorching right down like it was. But it'll rain. How do you know? God said so. That's the only answer we need to give. We don't have to prove it. We don't have to manifest it. We don't have to back it up. We don't have to make it happen. We don't have to apologize. God said so. God said so. God said so. God said so. And friends, I know that God allows things sometimes. There's multiple reasons why he does things, but sometimes he allows things to become so impossible that there'll be no question when it happens. There'll be no other explanation. It's impossible. But God said so. So imagine, if you will, tonight, you waited 120 years. And now you're in the ark. And it's pretty quiet. Nothing going on. You did what God told you to do. Brother Branham tells us that Satan, God told Noah to put a window there in the top of the ark. And he said, when Noah went into that ark, Satan looked down through that window and said to Noah, you know, you missed it, buddy. You might as well admit it. This boat's never going anywhere. You've dedicated your entire life. Not only that, but you got your family in here now. Come on. Like trying to talk somebody that's off a ledge. The birds are still singing outside. The sun is shining brightly. Dust is blowing by. It couldn't be any more dry. Outside, laughter is heard. Scoffers and mockers. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. In the coming of the Son of Man, the revealing of the Son of Man. Perhaps somebody shouted out, "Hey, Noah! How's the weather? Getting kind of steamy inside there? Imagine it's got to get pretty smelly. How many animals do you say you got in there? Two of every kind? You know, Noah, you really went too far this time. Just come on and admit it. We know that you're an upright man. We know that you have character and certain characteristics that stand out. We know that you have stood as long as you could, but it's time to give up. It's time to drop this. You're a conspiracy theorist. You know what? That's what it would have sounded like. Millions versus eight people. How about this? Millions versus one mouthpiece. Another day goes by. Another day goes by. Another day goes by. And now, so God has taken 120 years to produce patience in Noah's life. So Noah has patience. Faith had birthed patience in his life. Without a doubt, friends. But now patience must stand completely alone for 7 days. I think we need to have patience with one another, don't you? Well, when is that brother going to mature? As if you matured overnight. Well, when will that thing that he's struggling with be under his feet? Well, how long did it take you? Well, when will that person's family be saved? How about yours? Well, when will this sister be healed? She keeps saying over and over and over that she believes. When's it going to happen? Listen to this. We should have patience with one another too, see? We get so much impatient with one another. We think we got to be like Moses. Moses had patience with the people. And look, that's what caused them not to go oversee if you're trying to do something. Like I've tried, listen to this, this is powerful. Like I've tried to get this message over at the tabernacle, to see that each member of the tabernacle become this. It's hard to do. You can't do it. I've tried to have patience, he says. This is 33 years. See, have patience. Women still bob their hair, still just the same, but just have patience. But just have patience. But just have patience. See, just have patience. Wait. You have to. What else are you going to do? You're not going to make it happen. God's word is on trial, not you. Just wait. Have to. If you ain't got it, don't try to build on this down here. Have patience. So Brother Branham wanted to see this patience in his own church. He wanted to see these attributes manifested in his own church. And he said, I've been waiting for this. And then he says, just have patience. Just have patience. You know, some preachers will... There'll be people in their church that they don't want around, or they don't think is a believer, or causing trouble, and so they'll just run them off. And some that you are patient with will eventually run off on their own anyway. But what about others that will eventually manifest patience? That is what patience is waiting for. You are believing tonight, friends, that you will come into what God said that you would be, in spite of what you might see. You're not looking at circumstances. You're not looking at yourself. You're looking at His Word. If you are a son or daughter of God, this has to happen. Now, consider this tonight. I have to believe that for myself. I have to make my calling and election sure. I have to believe that I'm coming into that. I have to believe that I'm maturing into that. I have to believe that those things will be fully manifested in my life. Right? But I also, at the same time, have to believe that there's a body of believers that He sent me to that will also come into full maturity. And it's not me that's doing it, it's Him. Just as it's not me that's doing it in my life, it's him. So Brother Branham said, 33 years, and I've tried to have patience. And then he says, just have patience. I've tried to have patience. Well, just have patience. You know, the devil's told me sometimes, look at what some of these people are doing in the church. Your ministry is not producing a thing. Through faith and patience. Through faith and patience. If God has called a ministry, God has placed that ministry where he has seed. And his word will go forth, and his word will not return into him void. Patience. 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 I believe that patience is still being worked out. I have a lot more patience than I ever had. And I've seen it manifested in so many ways in my life. But I believe there's more. We are still getting trials. If we are still getting trials, there's more. As long as I'm breathing, there's more. Again, he says, paragraph 296. Now, if you've got that kind of patience, after God gives you a promise and you see it in the Bible, it's mine, then wait. Then if you've got that kind of patience, add it to your faith. So we should be looking for that kind of patience to be manifested in our lives. And if we aren't seeing that, don't look for agape love. Don't look for that to be manifested in your life, because patience has to be there first. Again, he says, say, Brother Branham, I'm sick. I need healing awful bad. Accept it. It's a gift given to you. Yes, sir. If thou canst believe. Well, you say, I do believe. Well, then forget it. That's all. It's all over. This is what patience will do. The faith will grab a hold of that promise and say, I believe it, I'm holding on to it. Patience will say, I'm not going to struggle with it. I may have all the symptoms. I may be in pain right at this moment, but it's over. Have patience. If you've got patience, if you're not, you're crumbling off of this building here. See? It'll knock all the rest of it down. Remember, God is building us up into a stature of a perfect man. It'll knock all the rest of it down. That one thing. You got to have that. Don't add it, because it'll wreck your building if you haven't got patience. Again, he says, and now we've put the blood of Jesus Christ in, see? And that brings the faith of Jesus Christ, the virtue of Jesus Christ, the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the temperance of Jesus Christ, the patience of Jesus Christ, the godliness of Jesus Christ, the brotherly kindness of Jesus Christ. You get the theme. It's not you. It's him. And the love of God, which is Jesus Christ. He is the head, and he controls you. And your feet is the foundation, faith, amen, controlled by the head. There you are. There is the perfect man of God when he possesses these virtues. In the Message of Guide, Brother Branham said, Peter was led to say on Acts 2:38, how to receive the Holy Ghost. He said, repent every one of you, then be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And then the guide will take you on from there. Yeah, that's the thing to do. First, repent of your sins, of your unbelief, that you've disbelieving these things. Repent, then be baptized, and then the guide will take you from there on. This is his work. See, that's your duty. It's your duty to repent. It's your duty to be baptized. Then it's the guide's duty to take you from there on, to lead you from virtue to knowledge to temperance to patience to godliness to brotherly kindness to the Holy Ghost seals you. Then you're a full stature of God, a real man of God, a real woman of God, anchored away in Christ. I love that anchored away in Christ. Amen. Think about it, friends. We know that Abraham, the father of the promise, the father of our faith, we know that Abraham had to learn patience. Abraham didn't know that. God knew that he had to have that in his life. So God put him through what was necessary for him to manifest that patience, for that patience to come forth in his life. Similarly, it's not you getting up one morning and say, okay, I'm going to work on this one today. You're not going to work on anything. If you do, you'll make a mess out of it. God is the one that will bring you to these things. But you say, but I got to add faith to my virtue. God allowed these things to be worded this way for a purpose. It'll stumble some people. But it's not you adding those things. It's you adding to your knowledge of the revelation of God that is bringing these things into display in your life. That's what you're adding. Everything you will ever be is in that seed that's down on the inside of you. And that seed has to be quickened by the Holy Ghost. And it's God that then brings these things out in our lives. We could never do it. And when we try to do it, we produce a perversion instead of the genuine. But we will recognize, friends, what it is that He's forming and shaping in our lives. We'll see it. And we will yearn for those things to be manifested in our lives. When we act impatiently towards someone, it'll grieve us. And we'll say, Lord, help me. Help me to get out of the way so that that genuine patience can do its work and manifest itself. So the guide will lead us from step to step to step. Our job is to repent, be baptized, be born again of the Spirit of God. But then our guide will take us each step of the way. And each time he does, you will say, it's in me. You will bear witness to it. Friends, the Holy Spirit knows what we need. And he will guide us from one thing to another to another. Quickly, now I'm just going to read these real quick and we'll pull over. Hebrews 6, verse 12. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. I have heard, but now I see. Faith waits patiently for the promise. I have heard, but now I see. Faith waits with patience for the promised word to be fulfilled. Events made clear by prophecy. And the true believers in this word, who accept it that way, believe it, and with patience wait for its prophesied promises, every one of them to be manifested in its age. Every believer has watched for it. Every believer that's been on the toes watching is the ones that it's been revealed to. Again, now, and with patience, we have to wait for this. For the prophecies it's promised, every one of them must be fulfilled in its age. Every one of them must be fulfilled. Friends, the prophecy concerning this day must be fulfilled. The prophecy concerning the church in this day must be fulfilled. God said it. Galatians 6, 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. For in due season we shall... Don't give up. Hold on. God said so. God said so. God said so. I can't tell you how many times, Sister Baker knows this is true, I can't tell you how many times we've been given directions and you're, it sounds so sensible and you think you got it down and you try to follow it to the letter and you make the last turn or what have you and it doesn't seem like anything's going to happen. You don't find the place, right? And just as sure as you're about to give up, you're starting to question, well, did I get that right? Did I Did I miss a church? Did I misunderstand? Because it just seems like it's taking too long. It just seems like, and now you're questioning. And then you're just about ready to turn around, and there it is. Has that ever happened to you? It's amazing how that works out. That's where patience comes in. Because patience waits. Hold on. Don't start questioning the instructions. Don't start questioning what you're... You know that you've made every turn. You know that you wrote down the instructions. You know that you're following them. Just hold on. Just hold on. Just hold on. Or how about this? You schedule a party. And it's maybe it's a birthday party for somebody in your family or some event. And you've looked forward to it. And you've planned out every last little detail. And you've fretted over this and worried over that. And it's set for 6 o'clock. And at 5:55, nobody's there. And you're starting to wonder, did I mail the invitations? Did I put the right time on there? Did I get the date right? Do they still love me? Did the rapture happen and I'm the only one left? It's never happened to you before? Happens to me just about every service. I'll look out. Where's the other half of the church? We'll just wait 15 minutes. They'll be here. But you start to question. Come on, friends. Am I the only human being here tonight? Don't we all go through this? That's patience being tested. Patience being worked. That's your faith being tried. Don't give up. Don't question. You've done all. Now stand. You've done all. Now stand. You've done all. Now stand. Behold the glory of the Lord. Let's stand tonight. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. The musicians would make your way up. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads tonight. Father, as we stand before you, there's no big I's, no little U's in your kingdom. We're all your children. The greatest, let the greatest amongst us be the servant of all. So, Lord, we're not looking to the flesh. We're not looking to man. As we saw in the last study of the church age, in the Smyrna church age, where your prophet made that statement that without the Holy Ghost, or that there's no difference between the true church and the world except for the Holy Ghost. What a powerful thought. So we're not looking at flesh tonight, not looking at our own flesh. Flesh is flesh. We're looking to you, our guide, the author and the finisher of our faith. This is your work. This is what you said you were going to do. You didn't come along and say, you know, I'd like to, I'm doing a fundraiser and I'm doing a membership drive. And I'm trying to get the biggest church that I can possibly get. Would you like to be part of my church? That's not what you said. You said in Matthew 16, that you were going to build a church. You yourself were going to assemble it, put it together. By revelation, by faith, you were going to place each member into that body by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. By one Spirit are we baptized into one body, one faith, one doctrine, one Lord. You said that you would do it, and you made the statement that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. So you've already said it. You've been doing it. And you're bringing it to a headstone. and you're bringing it to maturity. You're doing everything that you said that you were going to do. You never doubted. And it's taken 2,000 years. What patience that has required. The word has been going around and around and around the world for 2,000 years, waiting to be manifested in those seeds as they come forth in each and every age. And Lord, you never once in any age asked, would you like to be part of my covenant? No, this is the church that you have set out to build. And we know that through each age, you've called. No man can come except you first draw. You've called. Your word has went forth. And that word, we realize that word is you showing us that we've been called. That word is showing us who we are, what our purpose is, what we're manifested for. Of course we have to accept you. Of course we have to receive you. But of course we will. We've been called, elected of God before the foundation of the world to be without spot or wrinkle, to be the virtuous, sinless bride of Jesus Christ. This is your work. This is your perfect work. This is what you have endeavored to do. Now, Lord, we realize that each and every one of us is a work in progress. We realize that when you look at us, you see the finished product. You know what the end result looks like. And you know that there's no way that we won't come to that expected end that you've declared before we even came to this earth. Lord, help us to hold on to your word. Help us to let that faith be so anchored, Lord, that is the test and trial. We're not asking for trials. We're not asking for tests. We know that tests and trials will come. There's not a one of us that likes a test or a trial. But when we come through the other side of it, we can say without hesitation that it brings forth the peaceable fruit, that we're better for it, that we're stronger for it, that something is now manifested in our lives. Maybe it looked like that trial would blow us over. But after coming through the other side of that trial and you've given us a victory, now that same trial wouldn't have the same effect. It wouldn't even be a trial. It'd be an irritation or a nuisance, but it wouldn't be a trial. Because that's been proven in our lives, and it's manifested, it's on display, and Satan can't take it. This is you doing that work. You are our God tonight, Lord. We look to you tonight, Lord, from the pulpit to the back door. Father, we want to manifest this image that's been declared in your word. We look into your word and we see a reflection. We know that your word is a mirror. And Lord, if we see things that are not on display, we don't want to get the cart before the horse. We want to start, Lord. We want to look as you've taught us, as Peter instructed us. We want to look to comes after faith. What comes after virtue? What comes after knowledge? If we don't know your word, if we don't know this message, we're certainly not going to be looking for patience to come in our lives, because we don't even know what it is that we believe. We don't even know what it is that we're standing on. So we know that knowledge of your word has to come before patience. We know that temperance has to come after that knowledge. We know that you've given us a temper, and a temper is a good thing. It's a backbone. But that temper has to come under control. And if that temper is not under control, how could we have patience? So Lord, if we're flying loose off the handle, and
we're honest with ourselves and we see that, may we look to you and say, Lord, help me to surrender that part of my life and allow you to bring that virtue, to bring that temperance forth in my life. Bring it on display. If that's on display in our lives, there's patience that comes after that. We know that it's a process. We know that it takes time. How long? We don't know. However long it takes is how long it takes. And so on and so forth. We know that these things are in us. If we're born again of your Spirit, but Lord, we're looking for them to come into full view, to come to the forefront, to be what's manifested in our lives, to be what others see, to be what we see. For the head to take control of these things in our lives, in a body here on the earth. I pray, Lord, that you minister to each and every heart tonight. I pray, Lord, that each one of us would look to you and say, God, I believe you. I take you at your word. But I know, Lord, that it's more than just my faith in you that you're looking for. You're looking for the very nature that was in Christ to be manifested in our lives. So, Lord, I surrender. I'm looking to you, the author and finisher of my faith. And I'm expecting, Lord, for you to take me all the way. Be my guide, Lord. Guide me all along the way, Lord. Father, school me as a school teacher. Tutor me, Lord. Remind me when I'm allowing my flesh when I'm walking after the flesh and not after the Spirit. If I'm walking after the Spirit, these are the things that we'll see coming into manifestation in our lives. We'll see Christ on display. That's what we want to see, Lord. Help us to be patient with ourselves. Help us to be patient with you, patient with one another, patient with your promises. Help us to recognize, Lord, that this is your provided way. There is no other way. We can't just go down to a store and purchase this. It's not for sale. Yet it will cost us everything we have. We know that it's not even a gift. It's a victory. We know that the trials of our faith will bring these things into manifestation in our lives. It'll bring that character into the forefront. It'll cause us to grow and to mature into the fullness of the stature of a son or daughter of God. That's our desire here tonight, Lord, each and every one of us. We're not here to get big in our own eyes. We're not here to draw attention to ourselves. We're not here to gain the world's riches, see what kind of notoriety we can get in this life. We know that we've got to occupy until you come. We know that we all have a vocation that we've been called to walk in. We want to be faithful. We want to do what we want to do, do what we do with integrity, honesty, do our best at whatever it is that we try and do. But when it comes to these things, Lord, it's only you. It's you and you alone. Only you can bring these things to the forefront. May we trust you tonight, Lord. May we be in expectation that the one that called us, we've made our calling and election sure, the one that called us is doing this work in our lives. And we'll bring it to completion in Jesus Christ. I pray that each one would be encouraged here tonight, Lord. I pray that we would be able to stop long enough, Lord, to realize that if we see that it's a struggle for each and every one of us because of the trials, the pressures, the heartaches, the different things that come our way to bring these things to the forefront, well, so is it with our brothers and our sisters. And if we recognize that maybe we aren't seeing everything in full manifestation in our own lives, why would we get hung up on our brother or sister and be an expectation to see all the I's dotted and all the T's crossed in their lives? We know it's a process. We know that the Abraham that you called out of the Ur of the Chaldees is not the same Abraham that we saw in Hebron eating and communing with you. We know that he went through a lot. We know that he believed you in the beginning of his walk. We know that that faith was tested and tried and proven. And we know that it produced patience. And we know that even when it did produce that, that you then caused that patience to stand completely alone. You said, okay, your patience has brought forth the promise. Here's Isaac. Now I want you to kill him. Your only testimony, I want you to kill it. So we know that patience will stand alone and be tested and proven. But it'll come forth. It'll be proven to be real. It'll come forth as gold. That's your word. That's your promise. Father, may we rest in that tonight. If we take you at your word, may it just be settled in our hearts. May we not go back and forth and worry and fret. And may we not allow the enemy to talk to us and try to confuse us, try to cause us to worry or wonder or doubt. But instead, may we realize that you can't lie. And if you gave us your word and we stand on it, it has to happen. It absolutely, we just got to be that bedding ground, not digging up that seed to see if anything's happening. We got to commit it into the ground, and we can't see what's going on under the ground. But our faith tells us that something's growing, something is moving, something is changing from glory to glory. Father, we just keep it in that atmosphere. Allow your word to water it with our prayers. And be patient, knowing, Lord, that in good time it'll bring forth and fruit in its due season. Minister, teach in every heart here tonight. Lord, comfort those that have been there are those that have been holding on for a long time for different promises. Maybe it's a loved one. Maybe it's a physical condition, a spiritual condition, what have you. But they're still holding on tonight. Lord, may they be encouraged that patience is doing its perfect work. And when patience has finished its perfect work, there will be a manifestation. There's no possibility of any other thing taking place. And Father, we realize that sometimes it'll take us right to the end of our rope. Sometimes it'll take us to back us into a corner to where we think we just can't go any further. We can't hold on any longer. But Lord, it's at those times that you show us that it's not us, it's you. And you bring us forth something. It's not us holding on, but something's holding on to us. We believe that tonight, Lord. I pray that each one would be encouraged. I pray that each one would be strengthened. I pray, Lord, that this body would gain more patience, one for another. Patience with you, patience with ourselves, patience with your word. Father, may we see the full manifestation in this portion of your body, in this local portion of your body. We're not looking to be big shots. We're not looking to, we don't want any attention drawn to ourselves. We're not looking for a vindication of ourselves. But what we want is to see what you've promised in your word for this hour to be manifested in our lives. It would be a privilege, Lord. It would be a great honor for your word to come to maturity in our lives. That's our desire. That's our goal. That's what we're holding out for. And I believe that's what we will see. We're not going to consider anything else, Lord. We're going to take you at your word. Bless each and every one, we pray. We love you and we thank you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder if there's anyone that want to lift your hand to him tonight and say, God, I want to see these things coming to maturity in my life. I want you to receive honor and glory. I want your word to be on display. I want that image, the Christ of all the ages, to be on display. You deserve that, Lord. You deserve
to be recognized. You deserve the honor. You deserve the glory. You deserve to have what it is that you've dedicated yourself to have. You deserve it. You are more than deserving of it. Lord, we want to surrender what little that we have. But Lord, you can do a whole lot with it. You don't need a whole lot. You can take a grain of mustard seed and turn it into a great big bush. How much more can you take that little seed of faith in us and turn it into a mature stature of a son or daughter of God? I believe that with all my heart tonight, Lord. I pray that you see all those hands that are lifted, Lord. Move upon each and every heart. May each one be encouraged now, Lord, as we endeavor, Lord, to press towards that mark, that high calling. Bless each and every one. We love you and we thank you now. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Oh, teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Amen. Amen. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as shall walk and not faint. Oh, teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait. Amen.